Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is so great to be with you guys today. I've been waiting patiently for that Kyle Shanahan press conference to kind of drop so that we could go over, you know, who's in, who's out. And man, it is a lengthy list. Seven starters currently didn't practice today. We're going to detail that. And probably if you're like one of those, like, okay, give me the good, right? And so today's kind of title of the show, 49ers, are they in crisis or are they in control? And I know the 4-1 record, definitely control there. But just with these injuries, identity, trade deadline, you know, depth, all these different things. So I want to keep today's show in tension, right? Between these two different ideas, whether that's crisis or control. Good, bad, yin, yang, whatever you want to say. Nothing is ever, like, you look at 4-1, and you're like, hell yeah, man, you're one of the best teams in the NFL. You are absolutely incredible. But you look at the injuries, you look at the identity and what it keeps changing, what that looks like. But man, probably one of my positives, the biggest takeaway that I could have today is there was a new name on the injury report in a good way. A player we have not heard about. And their practice window getting activated, one of the unsung heroes of the 49ers kind of roster countdown that we've done 5 years now, Kevin Givens. This is big time because with the Khalil Davis injury, which he was limited today too, he had surgery on his hand. Like, dude, what's going on? Like this dude just had surgery and he's already limited in practice. Is he going to be able to play? We'll have to see what that looks like. But Kevin Givens coming back. Kevin Givens is a technician. He is the best technician the 49ers have in that defensive tackle room. Undrafted free agent from 2019. He's been here as long as Bosa and as long as Bosa. Actually, there's only two players that are still with the 49ers. Debo's gone. Dre Greenlaw's gone. Mitch Wisnowski's gone. And so you've got Bosa from 2019. And you got Kevin Givens. Now, obviously, Kevin Givens is nowhere, you know, in that realm or stratosphere of, you know, Nick Bosa, defensive player of the year worthy. But if you struggle versus the run game, which I don't think the 49ers do, I think Robert Saleh has corrected that. Dude, Kevin Givens is a veteran presence that anchors against the double team, even though he's the smallest defensive tackle in the defensive tackle room. He's the best at it. Like that dude, freaking palms in, to the chest, knee down, turn sideways, get skinny, become just a freaking plug that hole. There is nobody on the 49ers team that is as good at that. So stopping that duo power run up the middle, like Kevin, that's his specialty, man. So I'm pumped. Now, Kyle said, you know, no guarantee on being available this Sunday. And that's Malik Mustafa, Kevin Givens, who both had their practice windows activated this week. You got to see how the week goes. But just getting a Kevin Givens is limited. I was like, I think he misspoke there. But I think he meant to say Khalil Davis. So I rewound it. No, he said Khalil Davis limited. Then he said Kevin Givens limited and tried to skip past it real quick. And I was just like, what are you doing here, Kyle? You pulling a sneaky? This is huge. So veteran presence in the youngest defensive tackle room in the NFL. That's important. That is important. important. That's what it is. So I'm super, so like, if you're trying to find something like, man, what is the positive, right? The biggest positive of today's presser, Kevin Givens is back, getting veteran depth at a defensive tackle position. Yeah, Alfred Collins, he's stepping up. He didn't practice today. The 49ers had a, you know, practice squad transaction. Bruce Hector! Shout out to my Troy fans. Bruce Hector, the defensive tackle, has been signed to the practice squad. They let go Jalen Mahoney. He's off and on. He'll be back. I think this is his fifth transaction with the 49ers this season. If a safety goes down, now that you have Malik Mustafa back, you've got that extra room. Jalen Mahoney will be back. If there's one injury to a safety, Jalen Mahoney will be back. They love that dude, how he practices. Missed my countdown crew. My bad, everybody. Shout out to all the hashtag CCs. You guys are the best. Want to say thank you for all the support. Eric Meister, look at that. He runs the Instagram. He is the best. He's our social media guru. RTP, FTW. Hopefully you had a good birthday yesterday. What's up, Dan Case? Man, we got some fun ones in here. What's up, Big Red? Sean, everybody, we got Hawaii in the house, man. We are freaking getting it. So, this is awesome. We're going to have a fun show. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. So I want to talk about Shanahan's approach and view on being so pass heavy. Tim Kawakami asked a question that, you know, I already had in my notes that I wanted to talk about, but got some clarity there. Seven starters that are out. We're going to talk trade deadline. We're going to talk future 49ers picks. What is worth kind of trading? What is not worth? We'll have to see what that looks like. And you have to hold that in tension with this, Dan. Number one seed in the NFC and still 12 of the power. We're actually number two. But I understand what you're saying. I don't care about power rankings too much. I know a lot of people get real bent out of shape. And if I did a 49ers power ranking with like big bold print and whatever else and showed like an angry 49ers face, I know I would get like an extra 5,000 views. I just don't give a damn. Power rankings don't do anything. I understand the respect, disrespect, whatever else, but I care about division rankings. I do care about seedings. The Eagles are actually the number one seed because their strength of victory is higher and will be higher. Because the NFL does not go by wins and losses. It goes by winning percentage. So even though the 49ers have more conference wins than the Eagles, who both are undefeated in the NFC, that doesn't matter because it's based on winning percentage. So that's a tie on conference record. Strength of victory. The teams you beat, what is their winning percentage combined? Divide by the number. So divide by four. Each team has four wins. The Eagles win that tiebreaker and will because the Eagles are playing a first-place schedule. They finished first in their division last year. The 49ers played a fourth-place schedule. They finished fourth place in the division last year. So the 49ers will never beat anybody with the divisional strength of victory. The one good thing that they have is their conference, their division is good. So most wins in the division, you get to play those teams twice, but you haven't done that yet. But you're still not going to catch. If you're tied with the Eagles in conference wins, we don't have the head-to-head with the Eagles, you'll lose that tiebreaker on strength of victory. Now, that's assuming both teams stay unbeaten in the conference. That's a pretty big assumption. I don't think either will. I think both will have multiple losses. I'd like the 49ers to do that. But, you know, power rankings, I've seen them as high as four, as low as like 13. It's what it is. Oh man, you could hear it. RTP Niners. Yeah, that is awesome. What's up, Devin? He says, thanks for that Dos Equis on Bourbon Street, man. I do not remember. I do not recall. But if you say so, I believe you. That was my birthday weekend, and yeah, we celebrated. Maybe a little too hard? Nah, I think we celebrated the appropriate amount. Kay, appreciate you, man. John, can't find this in the NFL rules. Can the Niners get into playoffs by winning six division games and losing all the others? The rule book isn't clear. There is not a rule on that. You have to win. If you go 6-0 in the division, okay, you obviously have all the tiebreakers against your own division. But if they have a better record than you, that surpasses that, right? So let's say the 49ers finish 9-8, but the Rams finish 10-7. You're 6-0 in the division. They're 0-6, but you don't get to that divisional tiebreaker if they have the better record. They would win the division, which is crazy. Now, reason usually suggests that if you go undefeated in your division, you're going to have a better record than that. So hopefully that there's not a clear rule that if you go 6-0, you automatically get the playoff spot. That is not in the rule book. You're not going to find it because it's not there. And it's funny because whenever I was coaching, every single year with the season, like we first done with the season, I would get out my rule book, you know, the THSCA high school coach football, whatever. And I'd read that MF-er, 500 plus pages and boring as hell and subtext and whatever else. I'd read that thing cover to cover and I'd make notes and all that stuff. And I'd always learn. Obviously, I don't do that with the NFL anymore, but whenever they do rule changes, I read it all. I taught law for a little while, so like I'll get in there, baby. I want to learn those things. So yeah, that's why. What's up, Joel? How you doing, man? He says, let's go live show. I try my hardest, Joel. If those of you who don't know, Joel is retired, served for the United States for a long time, but now he's over in the Philippines. One of the diehard supporters of the show and a good friend. We're going to be partying soon, my friend, together in Houston. I can't wait. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs, and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. But yeah, he's always like, dude, do a later show so I could catch it because he's in the Philippines. So yeah, this is a later show. And shout out to all the faithful from afar. You guys are the best. You guys are the best. I freaking love you guys. You know how hard it is to be a fan? Like, not only not in the Bay Area, not in California, not in the United States, but you're talking freaking different hemispheres? Whew, it's difficult. You got to fight for that one. Sean, I'm happy to have Givens back. I love it. And JJ is out again. So let's do this. Here are all of the players out. 7 starters plus. Ricky Pearsall, out. Brock Purdy, out. Jennings, out. Watkins, out. Robert Beal, out. Alfred Collins, out. Eterno Gross Matos, out. Trent, vet day, but technically out. Christian McCaffrey, vet day, technically out. Those are all the players who did not practice, which you have to report on your Wednesday, right? This is now we're back to a traditional, you're playing Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, official practice reports, injury reports have to be submitted through the NFL. That has to happen, has to be reported. Didn't have to do that for Monday. Didn't have to do it for Tuesday. Last week with the short week was always weird. The Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday practice, it's kind of weird. They're not real practices, but now this is a traditional week. And some of those are huge. Now limited, CJ West, that's good news. Upton Stout, that's good news. Mac Jones, yeah, we know Mac Jones can go. Kalia Davis, great news. Did not expect that. This dude's having surgery and limited. Kevin Givens, limited. Best news of the day. Best news of the freaking day. Now, the worst news of the day, Kyle was asked about the players on IR and PUP and whatever else, and he says, you know, I don't think that Ben Bartsch will be back next week. George Kittle has a chance. George Kittle's not playing this week. Those that were holding out hope, not playing this week. Might be back next week. Ben Bartsch not being back even next week. I'm just like, ah, I was really hoping there. That left guard spot is rough. Sorry about that. I've recorded a total of 3.5 hours today, and I'm not complaining. I am bragging. I love this damn job. But when I talk too much in my podcast breakdown voice, man, sometimes like the nose runs. It's a problematic thing. It doesn't matter what drugs I take. It just happens. This is not the tempo and energy with which I hold normal conversations, unless we are drinking together on Bourbon Street. But yeah, so sometimes the voice kind of goes out of me. So I apologize about that. Now, just because these players are out doesn't mean they're not playing. That means they're out of practice today. This is a Wednesday practice on a banged up team. Crisis, 49ers are banged up. You got 7 starters that don't practice on a Wednesday. That's rough. You're traveling across 3 time zones all the way to Florida. We'll be there. And you don't have all these players playing at practice Wednesday. That's rough. That's rough. Now, Pearsall, he kind of cleared up. And I would say a little bit of a negative quote here from Kyle Shanahan. He said, quote, "We were hoping he could get in this week, not counting on it right now," end quote. So, you know, I think 2 limited practices is what Pearsall is going to need to play. But you have Ricky Pearsall and you have Brock Purdy in a very similar state where it's like, look, dude, obviously we want those 2 guys back. And just to whatever, I haven't even seen this in the comments. It's Brock Purdy's team. This is Brock Purdy's team. This team is Brock Purdy's. Brock Purdy's the quarterback. But whenever you have Mac Jones playing the way he's playing, you don't have to rush Brock Purdy back. Whenever you have Kendrick Bourne, when you have DeMarcus Robinson, and I do think Juwan Jennings will play this week, you don't have to rush back Ricky Pearsall. It's not a division game. It is a very, very big conference game, not a division game, not even in that tier. I would say this is probably the 3rd most important game left on the Niners schedule. Most important, probably Rams week 10, maybe Seattle week 18. Those are like neck and neck. And then this one would be right below that. Cardinals, I think this and the Cardinals game are kind of like neck and neck for most importance. Cardinals, I think, are done, though. I think their coach is going to get fired. They got expiration dates stamped all over them. All over them. Not that I'm worried about the Cardinals. Division games are tough, but like, nah. I'm not even, you know what I mean? So like, the division games always take precedent. But yeah, you got to kind of see what that is. Now, Jennings, I expect to play. Jordan Watkins, I do not. Robert Beal, be nice to have Robert Beal out there, but if not, no big deal. Travis Gibson gets out there first play, gets a fumble recovery. Alfred Collins, you kind of got to have. I think he's going to play. He played through his injury last week, but you're resting him, because you know he's going to get a lot of snaps. Now, it helps having Kalia Davis limited, helps having Kevin Givens limited, gives you just a little bit of, and CJ West. Like, you've got 1 healthy defensive tackle, and that's Jordan Elliott. Everybody else, limited or out. You have 4 defensive tackles out. 4 of them. That's rough. Ichiro Gross Matos, that hurts. He's going to be out with that hamstring for a while. I do not expect him to play. Do not expect him to play. So that's just kind of going through the, you know, who was out there today, who wasn't. We will stay tuned for that. What's up, Gabriel? How you doing, man? So JJ is not ruled out already. I do expect him to play. The fact that he got a Monday practice in, you give him some, it's ribs and ankle. What she's played on the ankle, the ribs were rough, but this mini bye is huge. So you got him out there with just a light work Monday, rest Tuesday, rest Wednesday, get him a couple more limited practice. I expect him to be limited tomorrow, and I expect him to be limited Friday. And if that's the case, I expect Juwan Jennings to play. No insider information, just kind of how I see that trend going with the way the 49ers kind of handle all those situations. Shane, what's up, man? Appreciate the super chat. Interesting, the preseason talk was our lack of depth, and here we are winning with depth. Hell yeah. I think that there is some depth at certain positions. Quarterback was one of them. Like, That was one of the positions. Wide receiver was not. And this is why Christian McCaffrey's on pace to break every single receiving record ever in the history of the NFL for running backs, because you just didn't have it. But now you got DeMarcus Robinson back after those 3 weeks. Like, you were hurting. But you are correct. Like, the 49ers are 4-1, even with all these injuries. And it took some Herculean efforts from guys like Jake Tonjes. Like, good Lord. You know, undrafted free agent journeyman stepping up in a gigantic way. You got a 7th round guard, rookie guard starting, not playing well, Connor Colby, but getting enough done. I mean, shoot, Sam O's your starting defensive end. That's not good. I love Sam O. I love Sam O. Dude's not a starting player in the NFL, but you're getting it done. Like, that's the thing. You've had 5 games where every single game has come down to the last moment. Every single one of them. All 5. And what's funny is the Bucs are even worse than us. They've had 4 games in a row decided by a last-second field goal. So you've got these 2 teams that have a winning culture and are in control of their season. But, man, nail-biting, roller coaster, what a heart attack, whatever else. But, Shane, I do agree with you. The lack of depth is a concern, but here they are winning with depth. Well said. Well said. Yeah, well said. Now, you played some games where you've had Darrell Luter start. That's not good. You got Jason Pinnock out there starting. I don't think that's good. You've had Marcus Valdes-Scantling start several games. Sky Moore starts. Like, there are holes. These are not, yay, we're happy with Sky Moore and MVS being our starters. But the thing that I would say that you're winning with is coaching and some incredible performances from backups like Mac Jones, like Kendrick Bourne, who was on the street 3 weeks ago. Like, you are getting, that is incredible. The coaching that the 49ers have put on tape, even special teams, dare I say it, you said special teams player of the week, Eddie De Niro, crushing it out there. Oh, man, that was so awesome. Oh, man, my New Orleans brother, he says, finally going live at an Aussie-friendly time. Yeah, we had a good time out there, my friend. So cool seeing you, Greg. You are the absolute best. It was such a good time hanging out. Man, I love it. I love it. Look at this. Givens has a 2.5 sack day versus the Pats last year. Dude, Kevin Givens is a matchup nightmare. Some games, like, he's going to be completely negated and will be a liability. But some games, he will take over. Like, he is a matchup nightmare. He's a slasher. He's a penetrator. He's a smaller, undersized technician defensive tackle. It just gets the job done versus those big old freaking power style offensive linemen. He beats them. He beats them. Now, you put Kevin Givens against these small kind of athletic 49ers type offensive linemen, he usually struggles. But you put him against a power one, he'll just make it annoying for him. And he'll cause some problems. He'll cause some freaking problems. I love that. Oh, look at that. Joel says I'm behind in the chat. I'm sorry. I'm really, really bad about that. Now, a couple different things that I want to talk about, because I want to talk about the trade deadline. So let's dive in. Let's talk trade deadline. Let's talk future 49ers picks and kind of what are some options out there and what I think they should and should not do right after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a 5-leg parlay week 1 and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, We've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So, football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. All right, let's do this. Let's dive into the trade deadline, which we got some kind of comments there. Gabriel, he says, you know, I think Kyle gave some interesting insight towards the trade deadline and acquiring players. I think the Niners are only interested in acquiring guys that will be with the team in 2026 and not rentals. So this quote, which I thought was interesting, they asked, you know, Kyle had a quote like, we'll have to wait and see how this season goes. He said this during the preseason. We'll have to wait and see how the season goes with if we're going to add or, you know, where we're at. Well, you're 4-1. You're in first place. You're 3-0 against the division. You've got injuries all over the place. You weren't planning to play the majority of the year without Nicholas Bosa, right? But here you are. So that he was asked again, like, what is the idea that you want or will be aggressive towards the trade deadline as it's approaching? And this is what he said. Quote, we can add players. And the whole idea is guys that can absolutely help us this year without hurting us next year and balance those out. Again, guys who can absolutely help us this year and not hurt us next year. So Gabriel comes out and says, well, that means we want guys that are two-year players. I don't think so. I think that this is about value shopping. And, you know, there's, I think it's Coach Yak who put this out, and I apologize if it's not him. The 49ers offer a second and a fourth round pick for Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals. Who says no? If I'm the Niners, I'm saying no. I'm not doing that trade. I'm not trading a second round pick for Trey Hendrickson, who's a one-year player. And I know people, like, this is very, very complex, okay? So let's back up. Let's look at what the 49ers arsenal is next year with draft picks. Remember, how are they building this team? Younger and cheaper, and they have lived true to that. Some of the moves, maybe not near as much, but like, don't expect them to abandon that now because you're 4-1. So here's the draft capital for 2026 currently slated, okay? You have your own first round pick. You have your own second round pick. You have your own third round pick. Now, this is where it gets weird. The Bryce Huff trade was for a fifth-round pick. However, it does have the conditional specifics that it could become a fourth. Those have not been put out publicly. I don't know what the stipulation is, but Bryce Huff is going to be fulfilling that. So you have to understand you might not have your original fourth-round pick. It's no matter what, you lost your fifth-rounder next year, but it might become a fourth. Okay, so, but if it is the fourth and you don't have a fourth, then you get your fifth, right? Now, you are slated to get three comp picks. And let me pull this up here. We've got this little fun graphic from, this is Over the Cap. They do the best comp work in the business. You are currently slated to get four compensation picks next year. Charvarius Ward, a fourth. Aaron Banks, a fourth. Talanoa Hufanga, a fourth. Jalen Moore, a fifth. Now, this is a three-part formula. One is contract APY. One is snaps, how many snaps they play this season. And the third one is postseason awards. Okay. Now, the one that is finalized is the APY, and that's what this is predicted off of. Charvarius Ward, he's playing snaps. Aaron Banks, he's playing snaps. Talanoa Hufanga, he's playing snaps. Jalen Moore is not. So he's a fifth now, but that could fall to a six. That could fall to a six. So those are the compensation picks that you are, again, projected. Those aren't finalized. Those are not finalized till the season's over and the post-season awards is done on ESPN or whatever they do that on, NFL Network now, whatever. You don't have a six-round pick for your Brian Robinson trade, but you do have the Vikings six-round pick in that Jordan Mason trade. You don't have a seventh-round pick because of the Khalil Davis trade with Houston. So with the way we're looking at it right now, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 picks. You're slated to get 10. Actually, 9. Sorry. 9 picks is what you have now. So your draft capital is good. It's not great. It's good. All those fourth round picks, that's good. I am not, and again, let me say this. I'm not trading away that second round pick. Not for Trey Hendrickson. And whenever I talk Trey Hendrickson, that's a one-year rental. Okay? So, like, I heard this is, and I could be wrong. What I heard today was, man, Trey Hendrickson gonna have to be a value. And somebody's gonna be like, well, if you trade for Trey Hendrickson, guess what? You're gonna get compensation pick if you don't sign him. That is true. I would be willing to give a third round pick for Trey Hendrickson. I'm not giving up a second round pick. That second round pick could be Alfred Collins. Would you rather have 4 years of Alfred Collins or 9 games of Trey Hendrickson? You're not getting Trey Hendrickson right now. You're getting him later. Bengals are still out there buying. I tried telling you guys 2 weeks ago, Bengals aren't selling. They're still out there trading for quarterbacks within the division, which is weird. And I know Joe Flacco's not like the ultimate, oh, we're in it this season, but that division's a mess. The Bengals are not ready. They are not ready to sell. So you're waiting. You're not getting him now. You're getting him weeks from now, if you do get him. And there is no way you could sign Trey Hendrickson to a multiple-year deal. He's getting $30 million plus a year. There's no way. There's no way. So if you get him, let's say you give up a third-round pick for Trey Hendrickson. He plays out this year in the playoffs. He signs elsewhere, and you get like a third- to fourth-round comp pick for him. He's only played 9 seasons. That's huge, too, in the compensation pick formula, because if you're a non-quarterback and you played 10 years, the best you can get compensation pick-wise is a fifth-rounder. Again, I read the rule book. This will complete his 9th year. So he is susceptible for that. Now, the reason why I won't do a second, even if you get a third round comp pick, that second round pick is like 50s, right? Where I think the 49ers would be picking 50s to 60s, right? 64th. That'd be awesome. That means you won the Super Bowl. That third round comp pick is 100. You're dropping 40 plus spots. And again, Renardo Green, you want Renardo Green for 4 years or Trey Hendrickson for 9 games? You want Alfred Collins for 4 years, or you want Trey Hendrickson for 9 games? When I hear Shanahan say, quote, somebody that can absolutely help us this year, that's a check mark on Trey Hendrickson without hurting us next year. Womp. That's a thumbs down. That does not meet the quota that was put out there. Now, if you can get Trey Hendrickson for a third, give up a third round pick, and then you get a fourth round or a third round comp pick the following year. That's what you did with Chase Young. You gave up a third, you got a fourth round comp pick the next year. That's fine. I don't think a third round pick, which again, it's going to be in the 90s, 80s to 90s. That is totally the top 50 players in the draft. Oh, that is huge. Like, there's such a big difference between a second round pick and a late third round pick. Late second, totally different. That is a drop-off. As somebody who's done the big board 8-9 years in a row, there is a dramatic drop. Once you get toward like that start of the third round, it's just different. I mean, look, Nick Martin, who I love. He was on the show. He's great. Dude hasn't even, he can't even get on there on special teams. Like, that third-round pick, not to say, like, well, Dominic Pooney was a third-round pick, too. Got it. Fred Warner was a third-round pick, too. So I understand. I get that. But I'm just telling you, a second-round pick is a big damn deal. I don't see him trading a second. And if the price for Trey Hendrickson is a second in anything, I'm out. I'm not trading a second for anybody. Younger, cheaper with the weight. You have your 7 premium blue-chip players. You have to build with young premium rookies, blue-chippers. On cheap rookie deals. So you got to get a value trade. A value trade. That's what you got to do. And I like the rentals. It's like a Chase Young rental year again. I don't mind that if it's a fourth rounder. I don't mind that. Third rounder got to be premium player. But I'm off. I mean, shoot. You have 3 fourth-round comp picks. Dude, yeah. Take one. Here. Yours. A 1-year rental, and we'll get a 5th-round comp pick next year. That is perfect. Now you have to find somebody that fits into that, right? Right here. And so I get this question a lot. Would you trade a second for Jeffrey Simmons? One, Jeffrey Simmons, I think, would cost probably 3 first-round picks. He's that damn good. And you got to pay him. Plus, he's already under contract. So, like, I'm not trading that much for a player that I can't sign long-term. Does that make sense? And so if I could add now, you look at Jeffrey Simmons. Next year, his cap hit is $25.6 million. Can't afford that. 2027 is his cap hit is 28.5. Niners could not do this trade for free. They can't make this contract work. Not with Kittle, not with Trent, not with CMC, not with Warner, not with Purdy, not with Ayuk. You've already younger, cheaper. I love Jeffrey Simmons. Yes, do the trade. But contract-wise, no, it does not work. And it would take multiple first rounds. Would I give up a second for him? Yes. That contract, dude, you can't carry that deal. That is their number one foundational core player. It's like Jeffrey Simmons, then Cam Ward. Like, you can't get him. You know what I mean? You can't get him. Right here, Monkey says, can't give a second for Hendrickson. Nope. Kyle has that reserved for another wide receiver. yeah, and again, to add context to this idea, like crisis or control, you're 4-1. You're finding ways to do it. And when asked about the Emmanuel Sanders deal, and again, Tim Calacalli had this question. He just jumps to the front line anytime, whatever. It was a good question. He's like, what about the 2019 year where you trade for Emmanuel Sanders? And Shanahan goes, no, this year's not like that year. Yeah, you were like 7-0 or whatever, and you went 8-1. You traded for him. Like, he's like, we had the best defense of the last decade in the NFL that year. Everybody knew it. And our wide receivers weren't cutting it. Like, they weren't ready for that moment. They were all young. This is not that team. You are nail bite city. Over and over and over again. And if you remember, after that offseason, you lost Emmanuel Sanders. They tried to keep him. He went to the most money. He regretted afterwards. He went to the Saints because they offered him more money. He already won two, you know, already had a Super Bowl. I think he had two Super Bowls at that time. So he's just chasing the dollar, whatever. He regretted it later. Kyle Shanahan said, we will never put ourselves in this position again, because that was the Kinlaw Ayuk draft where you had two first round picks because you traded Buckner. Another mistake. But the Niners didn't have a second, third, or fourth round pick. And Kyle said, we will never put ourselves in this position again. We will never put ourselves in this position again. They kind of did with the Trey Lance and Christian McCaffrey deal. So you take that. That's the nuance take there. But if you trade that second round pick, gosh, I just can't see it. It's going to be a value trade. You're going to find one of these teams and you're going to give up a fourth rounder. I don't even think they're going to trade their third rounder. I think they're going to trade one of those fourth round comp picks. I think that's what the bait is going to be. Now, being patient enough, maybe you do a fourth and a future sixth. Maybe you do a third and get back a fifth or something along those lines. But again, right now you have no fifth rounder for Bryce unless that becomes a fourth. You have no sixth rounder because of Brian Robinson. You have no seventh rounder because of Khalil Davis. So you've traded away some of these picks. Now, the compensation pick formula works for you. Really, really does. And you're not going to be having this mass exodus of players like you did this year, because you kind of got rid of all those guys. Maybe Jordan Elliott goes and signs for some money somewhere else. Maybe Brian Robinson goes and signs for some money somewhere else. Trying to think, like, who else are you really losing that's going to hurt you really bad? Mac Jones, 2 years. Etur Gross Matos goes sign somewhere else, assuming he's healthy. Like, you're not losing an elite player that's going to cost big time and show up on the compensation pick formula. So the rental, I'm telling you, the rental is huge. That's what that's going to be. The rental. And yeah, we just need fifth rounders. I love it. Yeah, could always rework that contract. No way, man. It's too big. They can't do it. They cannot do it. Yeah, right here. Leon says, I've seen a lot of mock trades for Simmons for multiple teams for a second and third. If that's the case, would. Yeah, for other teams that have, I have that money. Niners don't have that money. You look, they're up against it the next 2 years in a row. They're up against it. That Ayuk deal killed any flexibility whatsoever. Brock deal had to be structured around the Ayuk deal. The restructures of Kittle and Warner don't hurt you too bad. Trent deal hurts. Christian McCaffrey deal hurts, but he's your whole freaking offense right now. Next year, the 49ers are up against it. They really, really, really are. And yeah, if you get Jeffrey Simmons, dude, that's awesome. If you make it work, go get him. But you kind of just drafted your guy. I'm not saying Alfred Collins anywhere near Jeffrey Simmons, but you spent that second. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see here. Let's see here. Boop, 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 boop. Oh, what's up, Phil, my man? I love it. Hashtag CC. Appreciate the super chat support. You are the freaking best of the best. Thank you so much. Now let's shift. Let's talk some of this run game, major crisis, pass game. Turns out major control. 49ers are dominating through the air. Shanahan was asked about that, and I thought it was interesting, his answer, right after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, Tampa Bay, I'm flying out Friday. Early. So I'm going to do my entire scouting report show. Probably going to record that at like 5 in the morning before I head to the airport. I won't go live. I don't want to mess with your notifications unless I record it like 7 or after, because I might have some flight flexibility. And if so, if I can go live at 7, I'll go live. But otherwise, it's going to be an off-air show that I'll load on YouTube and audio and all that stuff. You'll get that. But come join us. If you're in Tampa Bay or anywhere close there, we'll be out in Clearwater Beach Saturday from 2 to 6. Going to be an absolute blast at Coco's North Beach. And then our tailgate, man. This tailgate's going to be an absolute blast. And then 2 weeks from there, we'll be in Houston with Frank Gore at the Social Beer Garden, HTX. This might be the biggest party we've ever thrown. We are looking at over 500 people. It's going to be 49ers fans in Texas. That Houston chapter's gigantic. We rented out an entire 3-story parking garage next to NRG. We're going to be throwing our tailgate there on the roof of that parking garage. Going to be great. Parking is an additional thing if you want to put that on there. Plus, since we rented the whole parking garage, we get to open it earlier than all other ticketing. So all the stadium lots, they got to wait. We get to start early. So we'll be open late, all that kind of stuff. That's going to be there. New York will be out in New Jersey. That's what's up, man. At the Ainsworth in Hoboken. I'm super excited about that. If I say it fast, maybe you guys won't correct me too much. But yeah, then we'll be partying in Lot J, just off of Road C, the actual lot for MetLife. That's going to be a blast. Come party with us. And the details are up for every single road trip for the rest of the year. We've got the details up for Tampa, Houston, New York, the Arizona Cardinals week 11, the Cleveland Browns week 13, and the Indianapolis Colts at Monday Night Football game, which is looking like it's going to be a monster game against Indiana Jones. We got our details up out there. So go book now. Tickets will not get cheaper. They will only go up as we have to pay for more space and all those different things. so let's talk about the run game or lack thereof. Gabriel with the joke of the day. He says, John knows has a better run game than the Niners. That is sadly correct. The 49ers are currently dead last. The only team in the NFL without a rushing touchdown, 32 out of 32. They are currently dead last in yards per rush attempt, 32 out of 32 teams, 3.1. That's crazy. That is major, major crisis. The film, which I've been going through all week, interior offensive line, tight ends, like Luke Farrell is playing up and he shouldn't. Luke Farrell is a pass blocker. That is what he does. The whole idea was to get Luke Farrell so that George Kittle can go out on pass routes all the time. Kittle got hurt the first half of the first game. So Luke Farrell's having to do things that he's not qualified to do. He can pass block amazingly well. Dude can't run block for shit. His target points off all the time. He's not forceful. He's not aggressive. And that's a problem. Jake Tonjes, he's not a great run blocker either. He's got all-out effort. Kendrick Bourne, one of the worst run blockers at the wide receiver position in the NFL. DeMarcus Robinson had a couple really good run blocking plays, had some really bad ones. Marquez Valdes-Scantling was probably the best run blocker from a wide receiver position, but there is no Juwan Jennings. Even Debo, where people, you know, he would take plays off, and that was an issue. It's across the board. Interior offensive line, tight ends, wide receivers, all issues. Your tackles are doing really good in the run game. Your tackles are doing really good in the run game. Jake Brindle, no. Connor Colby, no. Dominic Pooney, no. Tonchus, no. Farrell, no. Bourne, no. Robinson, no. Kyle Juszczyk's doing his thing, but I don't expect it to change until Kittle gets back. Now, Brock Purdy does help because Brock Purdy makes you have run game integrity and pass lane integrity because Brock can scoop when he's healthy. When he's healthy. Joel says, how much for the parking area? I think it's just $50. The lot behind us is 85. So we marked it down considerably. So it's just $50. Plus you get to park there an hour earlier than all the other lots open. And you get to keep your car there. I think 2 hours later that we're keeping it open. So yeah, it's drastically lower than all the lots surrounding us. We are cheaper. And you get there sooner. So that's where that is. Frank says, you know, the cover two shell is killing our run game. Man, we're not even getting to the third level. The idea is when teams load the box, if you break through that first, second level, there's nobody there. We're not getting through the second level. It's not like the safeties are stopping us from explosive plays. 49ers don't even have a rush attempt over 20 yards the entire season. That's bananas. Like, it's just, we have the lowest yards blocked per before contact. In the, like, we're getting hit in the backfield. It's bad across the board. George Kittle will help, won't fix it. Brock Purdy will help, won't fix it. Juwan Jennings will help. Now we're talking, won't fix it. Ben Bartsch, he will help, but won't fix it. Now you get all five of those guys, that's huge. Health will help, but it's going to be a staggered effect. Yeah, there's going to be a 20-plus yard rush attempt. Yeah, there's going to be a rushing touchdown eventually for the 49ers, but don't expect it to change this week. Don't expect it to change this week. Do not. Kittle's not going to be back. Purdy's not going to be back. Juwan Jennings ain't fully healthy. I don't expect him to go He-Man for a while. Pearsall's not there to take the top off the defense. Like, Ayuk's not there to take the top off the defense. Like, it's going to get better. It's going to stay in crisis for a while. Now, Kyle Shanahan was asked about what it's been like, you know, his thought process with relying on the pass so much. And yeah, how much are they relying on the pass? The most in the NFL. The 49ers have the most pass attempts in the NFL. The 49ers have the most passing yards in the NFL. Number one, this is not a Father Shanahan, Kid Shanahan approach ever. He said, well, we don't go into games trying to be pass heavy, even this year, but it's how the game develops. You average 2.1 yards per carry on 33 rush attempts. You're sticking to the run, but man, yeah, Akshay, I miss seeing CMC get loose for a big gain. I do too. But, like, he broke the record for most missed tackles of any game he's ever had in his career with the 49ers. 12. Dude forced 12 missed tackles. CMC's still doing it. It's just the explosives are coming in the pass game only. That's it. Anthony says, who is a top-tier name that we can get on the cheap? Arden Key. Arden Key fits every single been with the Niners. Knows the scheme. Knows the role. You have a role that he has been successful with. He's cheap. He's on an expiring contract. He's on a team that's going to be selling. Arden Key. Give up a fourth round pick for him. Let him play out this year. Go sign somewhere else. Get a fifth, sixth round return. Arden Key. That is just checks every single box. Checks every single box. Not breaking your bank. Absolutely will help you this year. Arden Key is probably the guy. And I did not like Arden Key coming out of the draft. I did not. A lot of lazy tape. But, you know, it took him getting cut from the Raiders, who can't coach, and developed, and now he's an NFL pro. He had to get it, you know, he had to get it taken care of. So that's where I would go. Arden Key would be the top of my list, the first person I call. And I'd say, look, we'll give you a fifth-round pick for Arden Key. No? Nah, fifth's best we're going to do. Won't do it. I'm going to call him back next week. Hey, we'll give you a fifth for Arden Key. Nah, nah. All right, cool. Fifth round comp pick. Okay, how about a fourth round comp pick for Arden Key? Fourth round comp pick. That's pretty good. No? All right. Call him back. What if we give you our first highest fourth round comp pick? We got three of them. Like, that's what I would do. That's where I would be personally. That's kind of how I see it. So that's where that is. Now, I do want to go through. I've got way more notes. I've got too many notes. This is the problem. When you watch the film, which is good, man, go check it out. Every single play, offense, defense, special teams, all four quarters overtime, they're loaded on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon page. They're up. Go watch them. So good. There were so many positives and negatives, as there always are. I mean, shoot, there was like 100-plus plays. I mean, this was a game. You had a full extra overtime quarter, right? So next, what I want to do is I want to go through offense notes, defense notes, special teams notes, which really should be an entire episode in and of itself. But we're going to slide through these relatively quickly. But man, you watch the broadcast, and I watched the broadcast twice. Then you go through the all 22. Then you go through the end zone, and man, you just see things that are positive. 49ers being in control in crisis right after this. You want to support local business? You want to do what's right for the environment? Go to themattressguyco.com. Locally owned business, diehard Niner fan that supports the show, supports the 49ers Rush road trips. He is a legend. So if you have a mattress you want to get rid of, you just go to themattressguyco.com, set an appointment. They come pick it up. Easy peasy. Support. I mean, it's a win-win-win. Go to themattressguyco.com, support local business, and do what's right for the environment. I love it. It's a win. All right. Let's go through just some notes that I have from film. Offense, defense, and special teams. Let's start offense. Actually, I want to start special teams because I don't want to end the show negative. special teams. And look, the positive is Eddie P. The snap from John Weeks, the hold from Morstead, the kick from Eddie P is awesome. It's quick, succinct, in line, lock and key, time tempo is just perfect. And it's funny because, you know, we go back and forth when we're doing the film, and you see our extra point field goal, you see the Rams, you see ours, you see the Rams, you see ours, you see the Rams, right? Because these kicks are happening all game. And there is just a ironclad difference how quick Eddie P kicks that damn ball. I mean, that ball is down and it's gone. That ball is down and it's gone. And on the extra point that was blocked, that ball goes down and stays. And then the kicker is just slow, calm, cool, collected, comes up and it gets blocked. If Eddie P would have kicked that ball at the exact same trajectory at his timing, it wouldn't have been blocked. And it's funny because I say this all the time. And again, a special teams coordinator, like, this is my first coordinator position. Like, I freaking studied this shit and implemented it and was good and bad at it. But the idea is this. If your kick is blocked, a lot of times it's on the snap, the hold, or the kicker. And everybody's like, no, but the guy busts through the line. Don't give a damn. Don't give a damn. If you get that off in time and everything's succinct, they will not have a chance to block it. But that doesn't always happen. That didn't happen for the Rams. Like, he just paused. And that was always Jake Moody's problem. And I would say, like, man, come on, guys. Like, that's Jake Moody's fault. And they're like, no, I got blocked. How is that the kicker's fault? If your trajectory is low, Jake Moody's always was. Excuse me, I'm dying here. Talk special teams. Virus coming up, I'm telling you. I'm just joking. I get so mad at special teams just because it's poorly coached. It's so poorly coached. But the 49ers, what I'm trying to say, I'm still getting mad just because the Rams or whatever, Jake Moody, the extra point field goal unit is just, man, so good. And it's crazy that you just got this dude off the street. And a special teams player of the week. Four field goals, two extra points, not one of them close to being blocked. There was one play where they broke through again. It was so quick, they didn't even get close to it. So freaking great. So great. Negatives. Isaac Arendo had, I think, four plays where he didn't touch a player on kickoff return. He's the lead blocker. And the one time he wasn't the lead blocker, he fumbled it and the rest bailed his ass out. Like, he did have one good play on punt, though. I will say that. Made a nice tackle. Got to give it to him there. But, like, I think he had 12 special teams play. He touched one player. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, maybe whenever I'm done with this show, I'm going to go through and just, like, put out clips with no comment. Just watch 31. Count how many people he touches in these 10 plays. And you just watch him just not do anything. It's so weird to me. It is so weird to me. Yeah, right here. Joel, when is Jordan James able to play? I would switch him right now. I would switch him like that. And Jordan Watkins, when can he play? I'd switch him right now. Get him out there. It's ridiculous. Now, and I'm with you, Sky Moore. Frank says, you know, Sky Moore isn't nothing special in returns either. He's not, but he tries. Sky Moore blocks when he's a wide receiver. Like, he blocks whenever Isaac Grando catches it. Like, Isaac Grando does nothing. He takes, like, five steps, dodges the guy because he's scared of contact, and turns around and Jake Brindles it. Just watches. It's crazy. Luke Gifford, the best special teams player on the team. 5'7", dude's having a Pro Bowl special teams year. He at 5'7", and that's why Nick Martin can't play. Nick Martin isn't being active because of 57 and 59. You cannot risk losing Corey Robinson or Luke Gifford on special teams. They're making every damn play. They even had twice where they made the tackles together, one on kickoff and one on punt. Like, those two guys, 57, 59, best special teams player. And Gifford's way ahead of Curtis Robinson, but those are your best two. Tatum Bethune's your backup, Mike. God forbid something happens to Fred Warner, which never does. He's the Iron Man, knock on wood, whatever. Tatum Bethune's your backup, Mike. We already saw that for those, like, couple plays when his nose was busted or whatever. So, like, you cannot afford to deactivate 57 or 59. You can't do it. Luke Gifford, damn good signing. Damn good signing. Jair Brown, one of my least favorite players, went out and had effort on special teams this year or this week. I like that. He played hard. Darrell Luter Jr. made one positive play. I was happy for him there. Actually stayed in his lane. The four other times on punt, as he did not. I have no clue why he is still getting special team snaps. It's still bad, but he did make one good play. So I don't want to be somebody that just highlights the negatives. I don't want to be that person. I know that I am that person sometimes, and I'm sorry. All right, defense. Renardo Green, I think, had his best game this year. It wasn't perfect. Renardo Green had a bad half. Renardo Green had busted coverages. Renardo Green had miscommunications. But when Renardo Green was on, Renardo Green was great. Great. Really bad technique on the first two series. And he had the luxury of probably the two worst Stafford passes were at Renardo Green, where he got torched. You even had Marquise Siegel correcting him on a busted miscommunication. Everybody else was in man, and it was a 3rd and 5, and Puka just runs a curl route and wide open free first down. And you got Marquise Siegel, a rookie, going and correcting Renardo Green. Saw the same thing with Jair Brown, too, where you had CJ West, a rookie, going and correcting Jair Brown, almost got a taunting penalty. Like, dude, this rookie class, it's something. And Renardo Green, he's into the group of, that was a badass draft class last year. But the fact that Marquise Siegel, 5th-round pick, rookie starter, is out there correcting Agent Zero. Oh, man. Dude, I freaking love that. Ooh, I'm just, give me chills. Rookies out there correcting vets. That's an indictment on Renardo Green and Jair Brown. That is a glowing review on Marquise Siegel and CJ West. Like, you getting some guys. You getting some guys. But, you know, Renardo Green, after those first two drives, a couple miscommunications, he was awesome. His best tape of the year against Devontae Adams, against Puka, like against Tutu Atwell. Like, that was a difficult challenge. And now you look at, you know, what's coming up next week. You got Chris Godwin, and you got probably rookie of the year, Emeka Egbuka. Like, You don't get easy in the NFL at cornerback. There are stud wide receivers on almost every damn team now. But yeah, shout out to Renardo Green. I thought his best tape of the year. Worst tape of the year, Upton Stout. Major issues continue. Will not get his depth in zone drops. Will not get his depth in zone. This is three consecutive weeks. This dude is not getting depth in huge plays. Every team's going after 20. Every team's going after 20. And the problem was the Rams didn't know what to do when he went out of the game and they put in 26. They stopped going after the slot wide receiver. Now, you're guarding Puka and Devontae Adams. You're not going to have another matchup like that ever again. But Upton Stout was struggling. Not getting his depth on the drops, looking in the backfield too much. And, man, the Rams, Sean McVay, schemed up 20 bad where he would sneak. We call it a sniffer roll. Like, you have Jordan Whittington, who's their slot JJ wide receiver plus, right? He's basically a tight end and a wide receiver's body, whatever. Anyway, they put him to the three wide receiver side. They'd motion, and they'd understand what they were in, whether it was zone or man, and they got Upton Stout in both. They would slide. They'd sneak 88, Jordan Whittingham, Longhorn, through the B gap. He would release inside the tackle, right, in between the tackle and guard, go up, and then he'd run his out route from there. Well, the first time they did it, they got a 25-yard gain because Upton Stout didn't reroute him, which means you've got to jar him to throw off the timing of the route, and you've got to get your depth. He didn't reroute him, didn't get his depth, 20-plus yard gain. The very next play, they flip the formation identically, and they run the exact same play. This is the difference between Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan thinks it's a cop-out to run the same play more than once. I got to beat him in new ways, and he's talked about this before. McVay is the exact opposite. Dude, they didn't stop that. Let's do it again. I would run the same play again, personally, but whatever. They flip the formation. They run the exact same play, except they flatten the release. So a 3-by-1 set, three wide receivers to the right. They motion Jordan Whittingham behind the tackle, snap it. He sneaks in between that B gap, the tackle and center on the right side. Upton Stout does not redirect him. And then they flatten that concept out, free 12 yards. Didn't get to his drop. He's peeking in the backfield. Later in the third quarter, they did it. Finally, it was on the left side, 3-by-1 set. Upton reroutes him, gets his hands on him, jars him a little bit, and it's an incomplete pass because Stafford threw it off the tips of his fingers. Still not a good drop, but the reroute was enough. So positives, negatives. Every team will target 20 until he proves he can't do it. Like, you can't target him anymore. Until that gets to that point, it's going to continue. His depth drops in his zone are awful. He always jumps the underneath too aggressive. Too aggressive. But you're seeing learning and you're seeing technique. And I love that you're seeing the coaching saying, hey, when they do this, you have to do this. He got it the third time and it forced an incomplete pass. So there's positives there. It's not all negative with Upton. It's just, it's like, come on, man. You got to get there. You hate seeing the same issue three games in a row for some of the, like, remember all those, Harrison Jr. wide open and he dropped it. That was on Upton. Then he caught that one like late in the fourth. That was on Upton. And you saw last week in the Jags game where Travis Henry's wide open. That was on Upton. Yeah, Jordan Whittingham wide open. That was on Upton. Like, it's these same things. He's not getting depth. He's taking the cheese and taking that shallow flat route. But in Robert Saleh's scheme, the whole idea is, man, defend back if they check down, rally, tackle. He's taking that cheese every single time. And so that you got to get a little bit more discipline there. Shout out to my man, David Gill. What's up, man? He says, better late than never. Turning in live. Let's go. He's one of the producers. Thank you so much, brother. Other things. Jason Pinnock, he's doing his job. But that's it. Like, minimal. His effort's good. Won't get in on tackles. Just, gosh, we need Malik Mustafa back. Diamador Lenore could have had six defensive holding calls. That dude is being grabby, grabby, grabby. Had some bad IQ plays on a couple plays. He's still great. Diamador Lenore is playing at a Pro Bowl level. Everybody's scared of him. Everybody is just saying, look, we're going to throw it at three guys. Upton Stout. We're going to throw at Marquise Siegel. We're going to throw at D Winners. Every single team's game plan has been the exact same thing. Upton Stout, D Winners, Marquise Siegel. Why throw it at Demo? Why throw it at Fred Warner? Shoot, why throw it at Renardo Green? Let's pick on these other three. Fred Warner might be the best ever watch. D Winters has to stop looking at the damn quarterback. It's different when you're playing Kyler Murray or even Trevor Lawrence. You're playing Matt Stafford, man. You get your pass read, get your eyes on the guy in your zone and get there. He peeks in the backfield like Matt Stafford's going to run the ball, and then he's late to his drops in the flats. D Winters has been beat for 4 touchdowns. It's so many just flat routes. And he's a great coverage guy. There's just a disconnect between what he thinks he can do and what he can't do. He's doing too much. If he just starts covering the damn tight ends and wide receivers that he's supposed to and trust the read, trust the key, it's a pass key. Matt Stafford ain't running. Baker Mayfield will. But, dude, you're playing Matt Stafford and he's like 40. Get to your damn drop. Get to the flats. I love D Winters. And he's fast as any linebacker in the NFL. But, man, he keeps thinking, oh, I'll get there. And you'll see him. Like, you'll see Kyron Williams go out and just a little, you know, sometimes it's a texted option route. Sometimes it's just out in the flats. And you'll see D Winters like, okay, here he is, here he is, here. And he'll still be looking at the quarterback. He's like, I'll get there. He has that confidence. The throw goes. He can't get there. First down, touchdown, touchdown, first down. And it's just every game, every week, Trey McBride, Kyron Williams, Amy McCardo. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, dude, just get there. Take that away. Oh, it would be so big. It would be so big. All right, offense film notes, and this will wrap it up. Interior offensive line getting harder and harder to watch, not better. I do think Pooney had his best game this season, but still nowhere near 2024 worthy. It's not. A lot of bad tape. A lot of bad waist bending. A lot of bad balance. Connor Colby, a lot of bad tape. Jake Brindle, I think he was on the ground 10 times. Not good. Now it's not good in pass protection. Like, Jake Brindle's always thing has been, makes the right calls, good in pass, bro. PFF's turning on him now, too. Like, dude, if the analytics and the film all say not good, that's bad. It's one thing whenever the analytic EPA nerds or whatever that don't watch tape, that don't understand, they're like, oh, he's the third best EPA over center in positive productivity conduit rate. Like, what the fuck's that mean? It means nothing. Watch the damn tape. Dude's watching people kill his quarterback. Dude's watching people kill Christian McCaffrey. That continues. So now whatever, you're losing the EPA nerds and the film guys. Ooh. Leon, John, would Cleveland Farrell be worth claiming off the practice squad? Maybe. You kind of already have that. You need pass rush upside. Cleveland's never had that. Like, Sam O's better than him. No, I don't think so. Now, Luke Farrell, I talked about him earlier. Kittle coming back is going to make Luke Farrell a better player because he finally gets to play the role he was designed for. And if the 49ers are going to continue to pass the most in the NFL, Luke Farrell is going to be important for that. He's just playing up above his pay grade. Well, maybe not above his pay grade, above his skill set. He's being paid like a boss, but that's what it is. And probably my last comment before my voice goes completely out. Mac Jones, obviously amazing. I think the best thing that he did on tape, and I saw this at Alabama, was in our draft write-up too. He replaces the blitzer with the ball. I counted 9 times. And so now, all these aren't blitzes. So if you only bring 4 people, it's not a blitz. What they'll do is, like, it's called a zone fire. So you'll blitz the linebacker but drop a defensive tackle or an end. So you're only bringing 4. So it's not a true quote-unquote blitzer. But from a coaching standpoint, you call it the blitzer. So you identify the play side, strength side linebacker is blitzing through the B gap. Let's just throw that out there, right? So what Mac Jones does is he replaces the blitzer with the ball. So my hot route read, blitz coming from here, I'm throwing it there. I am going right at the place that was alleviated by the blitzer. And he did this 9 times. And it was successful, I think, almost every damn time. Now you're going to play Todd Bowles, who's one of the most innovative defensive coaches and exotic blitz, whatever. You know, I put Brian Flores ahead of him for sure. But like, he's up there. And so you're going to see a lot of that. I fully expect Mac Jones to be the quarterback this week, by the way. I don't think Brock Purdy plays, and I don't think that he should. If that toe's acted up, let's roll with Mac. But it gives me a lot of hope. Mac, this might be a Mac game. And, you know, the Bucs are banged up, too. They're not near as banged up as the 49ers. No team in the NFL is. But, man, they're, like, down first, second, third string corners. Well, we're down first, second, third string wide receivers, so that kind of offsets. But, man, I have a lot of confidence with Mac Jones. Now, he still had turnover-worthy plays. So, like, everybody's like, oh, he doesn't turn the ball over. Dude, that dude had 2 to 3 should have been interceptions. They weren't caught, so... not a turnover, but that's a turnover-worthy play. So a lot of people are like, well, he didn't turn the ball over. Yeah, he gave them chances. And those are going to continue with Mac. It just is. But, man, so many positives. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this show. It was a lot of fun putting this one together. And so, like, the title, 49ers in crisis, yeah, in certain areas. Run game, injuries, yes, yes, yes. Control, yeah. Pass game, coaching, schedule. Getting depth, rookies, yes, it's both and. But when you have the luxury of being 4-1, sure as hell makes it a lot easier. I'll be live tomorrow with Ant. We will be doing that one at our normal time, 10 o'clock. And then I'll try to get, again, the preview episode. I might have to record that early because I'm flying across the country for the party. Come party with us. That's our content for the week, and then we'll be live at Raymond James Stadium after the game, which I'm super pumped about. That's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much for being here, spending your time with us. It means the world to us. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.